Chapter 33. I just finished adding my skill and stat points from the 3 levels I'd gained from the battle and using auric extraction on all the corpses when the gate behind me opened. Admittedly, I was a bit surprised it had, in fact, been able to open without shattering into a million pieces from being frozen solid, even though I'd also long since melted the ice away. As I turned toward the gate, I saw a lone woman that looked like she'd been carved out of a giant block of blue jello striding out to meet us. So I shielded my eyes from the sun and took a step closer to get a better look. Only, my eyes just stopped on her face because it was like Marilyn Monroe and Jessica Alba had a baby. And as I stared at her gold-flecked sapphire eyes, couldn't help but be shocked at her color, since the rest of her body was blue.
"Hello, Otherworlder," she said in an accent that reminded me of Gal Gadot. "Thank you for saving Clucas."
As she came closer, the slime girl's nearly translucent skin jiggled tantalizingly as she dropped into a low bow. And as I craned my eyes up and down her perfect curves, I realized that she was barely wearing anything at all. In fact, only a simple navy blue cape adorned her shoulders, and while it covered all her sensitive bits, it was also obvious that there was nothing beneath it at all. "You're welcome," I said as I glanced around for my friends, but they had all set about looting the bodies. It probably went without saying, but the goblin musicians were especially quick to relieve the dead of their items. Thankfully, Queenie was looking after them. Not that I was worried they would keep anything truly valuable for themselves. Well, mostly not worried.
"As the Adventurers Guild representative, I would like to invite you and yours into our humble town."
She shook out her long blue hair so that it fell around her in an azure wave, then turned and gestured toward the gate.
"We have already provided accommodation in the inn for you as a way of saying thanks."
"That was very nice of you," I said with a nod. "As soon as my friends finish up here," I gestured at the ants busily harvesting the dead hobgoblin corpses for weapons, armor, and other valuables, "we will gladly meet you at the inn."
"Very well."
She smiled then, and as her gold-flecked sapphire eyes flicked toward my companions, she shifted uncomfortably.
"Actually, do you think you could come with me now? We have much to discuss."
As I opened my mouth to tell her that it really wouldn't be much longer, a message flashed across my eyes.
"The Adventurers Guild has a quest update for you. Would you like to hear it? Yes or no?"
She must have taken my lack of response for hesitation, because she suddenly continued talking.
"As much as I would love to stay here with you all night and watch your army loot the dead," her voice trailed off as she came toward me and smiled, "I promise that there are far better ways to spend our time."
She leaned closer, practically pushing her huge breasts at me.
"Don't you agree, Otherworlder?"
"Okay," I said, because now that I'd gotten the alert, that took priority. After all, that was why I was here. "I'll go with you. Just give me a second." As she nodded, I turned toward my army and called out, "Queenie, when you guys are done, come find me at the inn, okay? The Adventurers Guild representative wants to speak to me about an urgent matter."
"It will be so, Master,"
the Ant Queen replied, and gave me a small smile before setting back to work. Satisfied, I turned back to the slime girl and nodded to her. "Let's go."
"Come this way,"
she said as she reached out to take my hand. And Jesus, tap dancing Christ, that simple touch lit my entire world on fucking fire. I felt it in the tips of my toes, so warm, so welcoming, and so fucking needy, I could scream.
"Wow," she said, surprise filling her voice as she leaned in to peer at me.
You give good touch.
She swallowed hard.
I've touched many humans before, but none brimmed with as much energy as you.
She eyed me hungrily.
It was amazing, but that's neither here nor there.
She visibly got control of herself, and the next thing I knew, she was pulling me through the gates of the town. As we moved along the cobblestone streets, I found myself peering around excitedly. It was quite unlike what I'd expected from the outside, which was something medieval with stone huts and castles and blacksmiths and whatnot. Instead, what I found was a bustling town full of anthropomorphic people in brightly colored clothing that reminded me more of an Arabian bazaar than anything else. Catgirls in sheer cloth belly danced in front of stalls, while overweight boar men wearing sequined scarves and turbans hawked their wares. I'm surprised they're not all, busy doing other things given the town was just sieged, I said, as I watched a particularly cute mouse woman run up to offer me a sample of gourmet cheese.
The battle ended almost an hour ago,
the slime girl said with a shrug,
and commerce waits for no man.
She glanced around.
In fact, I am surprised there are not more shops open.
How could they possibly fit? I said, as we wove between the shoulder-to-shoulder shops. There was so little room between them that I would scarcely call the little gaps alleys, yet alone streets.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
She let loose another whole-body giggle that made her breasts bounce in a very nice way.
Merchants are a wily bunch when it comes to making coin.
She smirked.
They always find a way.
You know, I said as we turned a corner and the smell of tea and spices filled my nose. Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Come,
she said as a throng of bird people moved to surround us while playing a bunch of instruments I didn't recognize whatsoever. Then, without preamble, the slime girl just shoved them aside and pulled me through the gap.
In bird culture, that is considered a dick move,
one of them cried from behind us. And as I turned to look back at them to, apologize, the slime girl shook her head.
Do not speak to them. If you do, it will not end well.
She shook her head again for emphasis.
No conversation with bird people ever ends well.
Is there a reason why? I asked, now curious.
Yes,
she shivered.
Haven't you heard the joke?
She shook her head.
No, of course you wouldn't.
The joke? I asked, raising an eyebrow at her as she pulled me around the corner. Like fucking magic, I suddenly found myself standing in front of a giant fucking lime green circus tent with a pair of massive gargoyle guards standing in front of it.
The first rule of bird culture is to always talk about bird culture,
she said with a smirk, before nodding to the pair of gargoyles and escorting me inside. I'll be honest, my eyes started to water a bit at the sudden blast of incense that hit me in the face like a sucker punch. The smells of sage and sandalwood swept over me, and before I knew what I was doing, I was coughing like crazy.
Are you all right?
The slime girl asked, when I gave her a weak thumbs up as I collected myself. She gave me a look that told me she was unconvinced, but also would not inquire further. I appreciated that. Slowly, we made our way past the burning sconces of incense, and then past an octopus messing around with a small hydroponic garden, before turning down a corridor that led past a strange-looking group of rabbits having a tea party. Then, and only then, did we reach a giant green caterpillar lounging on a pillow while puffing away at a hookah pipe and launching smoke rings into the air. "Where are we heading?" I asked as we went through another flap. to your rooms at the inn.
She gestured around.
Welcome to the Dwarven Priestess. May you find no better den of iniquity.
That seems a strange name for a place like this, I offered, as she pulled me into a room that reminded me of a ball pit, only instead of brightly colored plastic balls, it was filled with pillows.
Founded by the religious order of the Marlchen Dwarves over 3 centuries ago, this town has long been dedicated to Brathen, the dwarven god of wine and splendor.
She smirked, and I nodded knowingly. I'd experienced more than a few of Brathen's followers' parties, both in and out of the game, and let's just say, for those out-of-game ones, hangovers don't quite cover it.
He's also the god of a few other things we don't speak of in polite company.
Then she pulled me onto the cushions that were soft beyond measure, like clouds weren't this soft.
Come, we have much to speak of, Otherworlder.
So, what do you want to speak to me about? I said, after we'd settled in. And that was when she seemed to get a bit nervous.
Would you care for some water or another kind of refreshment?
She asked quickly.
You must be hungry. I can have food brought.
I mostly want to know what this is about, I said. I wasn't annoyed exactly, but at the same time, I had no idea how Queenie was going to find me. Then again, even if I wasn't metaphysically attached to the Ant Queen, I was sure Morleone knew this place like the back of his hand.
Very well,
she frowned.
The Hobgoblin King has been sending his armies from the swamps to the west.
She bit her lip and shut her eyes as if steeling herself.
The force you saw earlier was merely a scouting force, and we know the rest of his army will be at our gates in 3 days.
She swallowed, hard.
We have sent for reinforcements, but...
She sighed.
That is why everyone is behaving so. One last binge before the end.
She shook off the mood and met my eyes.
This is why I wish to ask for your help.
She took my hands then, and I felt a spark of power flow through us that made her cheeks redden.
Please, I saw that you had magic, and with power like that, perhaps we could turn the tide. You have received a quest update. Will you help defend the town against the Hobgoblin King? Yes or no?
I would be glad to help, I said with a nod. Though we have a lot to do if we are to defend this place in a mere 3 days. I took a deep breath as I suddenly thought about the logistics of a defense. We need better walls and archers, and a whole host of other things.
I know it is a big job, but I am pleased you could help us, really. I wish I could thank you more.
She leaned in then, and for a moment I thought she might kiss me. Only she seemed to stop herself when our lips were just a hair's breadth away.
Sorry, we cannot.
She reached out then and lovingly stroked my face.
Much as I would like to.
I'm sorry. I took a deep breath and tried to stop my heart from thumping so hard. It's okay.
It is not.
She pouted suddenly as she drew her hands away and balled them into fists.
It is most certainly not fair.
She shook her head violently, then spat.
Other girls can have what they want, but never me.
I'm not following, I said. And as I went to move toward her, she put a hand on my chest that caused another zing of power to flow through me.
Do you feel that?
She asked, eyes wide and serious as she gazed at me. Yes.
I nodded. That is my power, the power of a slime, and it will devour you whole if it touches you for too long, Otherworlder.
She frowned.
So much as I would love to do more with you, it cannot come to pass.
I shouldn't have laughed. I know, but I couldn't help it.
Do you mock me?
She cried, a burst of rage filling her face.
Do you know what it is like to not be able to touch others? You become starved for touch, for warmth.
It's not that, I said. And this time, I reached out toward her and touched her cheek. As I did, I let a little of my aura flow out around my hand to protect myself. This time, there was no pulsing, gnawing need from her slime trying to eat me, because it couldn't quite penetrate the thin layer of aura I'd used to cover my skin. Well, that's not true. It probably could have eaten through the thin layer of aura I was using to protect myself if she'd tried, but she wasn't trying.
How are you touching me?
She asked. And then before I could answer, she pressed herself against me, but my aura held strong.
Is this your power?
Yes, I said with a shrug. I'm using my aura to diffuse the whole trying to eat me thing. I smirked. It's a gift from a goddess.
It must be,
she said, right before hunger filled her eyes.
Normally, I am not this way, but you do not know how rare this is for me.
She took a deep breath, then another.
Would it be too forward of me if...
She looked distraught and reached up to tuck a loose scrap of hair behind one delicate ear.
Otherworlder, I want to have sex with you.
Are you being serious? I asked, somewhat shocked.
Yes.
She frowned then.
Unless there is a problem, is my body not pleasing to you?
It is. And you are. I mean, have you seen yourself? I gestured at her. You're just... wow.
I know what I look like. I spent hours crafting this body. I put it together molecule by molecule, cell by cell.
She smiled then, pink flushing out over the blue of her cheeks.
I'm glad my effort has met your approval.
Your effort? I asked, suddenly confused. What do you mean?
I mean that I specifically created this form to appeal to you, Otherworlder. I based it on your ant friend.
She smiled at me again, and while that was surprising, given that she had just seen us, I found myself impressed.
Don't worry. That's not really a big deal.
She waved off my sudden concern.
I'm a slime. My power allows me to create any form I wish, among other things.
That's why you're nervous. You weren't sure I'd like what you've done. Rest assured, though, you look amazing, I said, as I reached out and took her hand. And as I did, her warmth flowed through me in an indescribable rush.
I appreciate that you find me attractive,
she said, as she looked deep into my soul.
But you do not have to do this if you do not want to.
Trust me, I said. And even though I suddenly had a million things to do, they could wait a little while. I want to do this.
Good.
She leaned in close. And as our lips met, my entire world evaporated into pleasure, and I knew one thing to be certain. I'd made the right choice. I was still numb from the sensation of power that had rippled through me when the kiss broke. As our lips parted and she stared into my eyes, A smirk tickled her lips as she pulled off her cape. My eyes flicked downward, and I realized she wore only a pair of black stockings topped by garters that were just tight enough to squeeze the perfect flesh of her legs, but left her, well, important bits exposed.
"You know, my eyes are up here," she quipped, an amused tone to her voice.
Sorry, I said, as my eyes flicked from the perfect triangle of blue hair between her legs to her taut stomach.
"Don't be sorry,"
she giggled, and her pleased tone made my heart race.
"If I didn't want you to look, I wouldn't have made my clothes look like this."
She swept her left hand down her body, and that's when I realized she was wearing elbow-length gloves made from the same dark material as her garters.
"Do you like what you see?"
Yes, I stammered, as my eyes trailed their way up from her flat stomach and just fucking stopped on her breasts. They were huge, almost ridiculously so, and had large nipples that jutted out, even though it was hardly cold in the room. Wow.
"I'm glad you like them."
She cupped her breasts and gave them a quick squeeze before dropping them. Their natural bounce was exquisite, and a lot of me wished she would do it again.
"I made them specifically for you."
She caressed them again, and when they bounced one more time, I was pretty sure I'd died and gone to heaven, or hell, or wherever had whatever she was. "What do you mean?" I asked, barely able to move my eyes from her nipples to her throat, because at the moment, it was all I could do to breathe when I saw the spiked black choker around her neck. I wasn't sure how, but the sight of it made me gasp.
"I told you that I can alter my form."
She reached out toward me, and as she caressed my chest through my shirt, her slime somehow seemed to flow through the fabric to touch me.
"And I want you to really enjoy this."
She smiled as the warmth of her hands spread across my body.
"If there is anything you wish me to change about myself, please tell me."
"That won't be necessary," I said, as a thin layer of warm slime flowed over my chest and legs and pulled off my clothing in an instant. And because I'd long since covered my body with aura, it didn't hurt. Instead, having her touch me was, well, exquisite in a way I couldn't explain. Her slime was so warm and comforting that it was very nearly the most pleasurable thing I'd ever felt.
"Oh, wow,"
she gasped when my pants were finally gone, and I lay in the pillows naked before her.
"I didn't know you were hiding something like this."
Before I could respond, the slime girl had dropped to her knees in front of me and taken me in her mouth. As she took the tip of my cock in her mouth, I realized I could see her tongue wrapping around it because her skin was translucent. I groaned as she sucked hungrily on my cock, and her warmth flowed over me as her tongue twisted and curled to stroke me while she swallowed me whole. A moan escaped my lips as her tongue continued to wrap around me and the sticky warmth of her mouth enveloped me. A moment later, I let loose a cry of passion as I emptied what felt like a gallon of semen into her. She swallowed it all, and as I watched, I could see my sperm spreading out into the slime that made up her body. What's more, she kept going, manipulating my cock with her mouth in a way I hadn't thought possible.
My legs shook from the effort as my abs tightened, and before I knew it was happening, she had drained every last drop from my body. I panted as she finally released me, and I stumbled backward a few steps. My whole body was tingling from that tremendous moment of passion.
"You taste great," she said, and smacked her lips together as she met my eyes. "Are you pleased with my performance thus far?"
"Yes," I said, as I tried to catch my breath. That was the best blowjob I'd ever had. I didn't even know something like that was even possible.
"Well, there's a lot more I can do," she said, as she lay back and spread her legs.
Then she slowly ran one finger up and down her delicate folds before slipping one inside, and I found I could see the finger penetrate deep inside her.
"Are you ready to fuck me?"
she asked, while beckoning me forward. And somehow, I was already hard again. Hell, harder than I had been before. "Somehow, yes," I said, gesturing at my cock while I ambled toward her.
"Yeah, that's the trick of the trade," she smirked. "Slimes secrete an enzyme that let our prey stay hard all night so we can drain them dry."
"Well, that's certainly better than a little blue pill," I said as I climbed on top of her. And as I teased her entrance with the head of my cock, she moaned. "Because I plan on making this the best day of your life."
"Oh, it already has been,"
she said as I continued to tease her.
"I'm ready for you, so put it in, please."
She met my eyes.
"I need you."
"Oh?" I asked as she began to buck her hips toward me. But still, I denied her. It was hard to do because all I wanted to do was plunge inside her. But somehow, I still wanted her to work for it. "How much do you want it?"
"More than anything," she said.
And before I realized what had happened, her legs were wrapped around me and pulled me inside her slick folds. I felt the sticky warmth of her ooze envelop me as I slid inside her to the hilt. Then, little slime tentacles within her began to stroke my length as I started to pump inside her.
"Oh, it's so big,"
she cried. And she reached up and wrapped her arms around me.
"Never stop fucking me."
As she spoke, my entire body was lost to the sensation of the tentacles within her as I watched my cock stroke in and out of her. It was almost too much, and after only a few minutes, I felt myself start to spasm.
"I'm about to come,"
I cried, and she grinned up at me.
"Give it all to me,"
she replied, and wrapped her body around me more. And as I realized that nearly the entire length of my lower body was within her slime, I came with nearly monster truck force. The orgasm racked my body so hard that I cried out, and as I saw my seed shoot out inside her and begin to spread throughout her warm body, she spasmed too.
"I'm coming,"
she cried, and the sensation against my still-sensitive cock made me buck even harder. Somehow, some way, I shot off again in her, which made her cry out in pleasure.
"That was amazing,"
I panted a few moments later. And despite the fact I'd cummed 3 times in less than 15 minutes, little me was somehow ready to go.
"No, you're amazing,"
the slime girl grinned up at me.
"And we still have the whole night to go.